Welcome to the Tell Me Something Real podcast.
Real people, real stories, real talk.
Well, hello, realists. Welcome to this episode of the Tell Me Something Real podcast. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Heather.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. It's been a rough day.
Yeah, I got that feeling. I've had a pretty rough week, but I'm super stoked to be here talking with you, which is kind
It's
of like
been a
self-care.
while.
I think it's self-care.
Yeah, it is for
It has been
sure.
a while, yeah. And for our listeners out there, we've been on like a 3 week hiatus. So, which I'm going to talk about today, a little bit about why we had a 3 week break.
Yeah, I'm so
But
jealous.
before, oh. Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to not be jealous about, and I want to share that with you guys today. So
Cool.
anyway, but before we jump into that, I wanted to check in with you, see how you're doing. What's going on with you?
Well, so first I want to tell you that I had all these things that I wanted to talk to you about, and then I completely forgot about them. So the one thing I am going to talk to you about is this show that I'm obsessed with.
Nice. I love a good show.
I mean, obsessed.
Okay.
So the Discovery Plus has been trying to get me to watch this show for a very long time, and I just assumed it was some like Amish thing, and I'm like, just eh, whatever. Amish kids sowing their oats, who, whatever.
Yeah.
No offense to, well, who cares?
Oh, Lord.
But it's
An
called
interesting turn.
Welcome to Plathville.
Okay.
And it's 4 seasons. The fourth
Okay.
season just came out. I didn't realize
Nice.
that. And I've watched them all in the last week.
Wow.
And so now I
Okay.
like legit don't know what to do with my life because I'm so in that headspace that like I
Yeah.
can't really go back to anything that I was doing before because I'm just so wrapped, I'm so involved. Heather. Okay, so it's like
Okay.
these people, there are 9 kids. There's one kid that died when he was like 17 months old. And they mention it, on the show because they do like memorials or go to his grave or whatever. And it's like, it's so heartbreaking, but that's not what I'm talking about. So these kids grew up like on a farm in Georgia and they weren't allowed to have, I mean, they were just super, super, super overprotected. Like they didn't have any friends outside of their siblings.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to listen to anything but Christian music. They weren't allowed to like have sugar or, have that, like they had a computer, but only the mom was had the password to it or whatever. And they were all
Okay.
homeschooled and blah, blah, blah. You get the drift.
Yeah.
But that's not really what the show is about. It's very much what the show is about the first season because the older kids are branching out. But then you kind of, they kind of, by the fourth season, the parents are like divorcing and the mom's like, they're like way more lenient. And, the mom's like drinking alcohol and shit. And like, it's just like everybody's just
Okay.
gone crazy. But really, what the show ends up being about is just family dynamics and relationships, like big on relationships. And as crazy as it seems, like, I can relate so much to like some of the people on the show and can absolutely stick people in my family like in the slots of these people on the show. And it's just
Gotcha.
like watching, no matter how much of it is fact or fiction, it's kind of irrelevant, but just like watching the stories, I feel like I'm learning so much about parenting, like what not
Oh,
to
wow.
do,
Yeah, what not
like,
to
well,
do.
but I mean, the
Love
thing
it.
is like you kind of see why the parents, and you're just seeing a glimpse, but again, who cares if it's real or not? That's not relevant to my life. But like you're kind of seeing like why the parents raise their kids in this way and how they like totally went overboard because of the way they were raised or like things that they went through in their lives and like how doing that can like really screw up your kids and like no matter even though they did it with like the best of intention, like ways that that was great and ways that that failed. And I'm learning so much, and I'm learning so much about just like family dynamics. And I'm seeing so much of things that have happened in my own family, and being able to like see that on a screen and how kind of ridiculous some of it is. And like, and I mean, it's such a mirror. Like it really is, even though my life is nothing like these people's lives. But it's really fascinating to me. I don't think I've ever watched a show that I felt like I could relate to in such a way, when it came to like the personalities of people and how people reacted or responded to situations based on those personalities and based on past traumas and things that they've been through in life. And I'm so into it. It's like
I'm gonna have to
really
watch it.
amazing. Yeah. And I mean, it's like, I really don't know what I'm gonna do with my life
I
now.
love that
And
stuff that touches, like I remember being a kid growing up, and now I understand it better, but as a kid, I didn't understand why I really identified with three shows: All in the Family, Sanford and Son,
whoa.
and then Roseanne.
Yeah, for sure,
Right. Well, I mean,
Roseanne.
Roseanne, I think a lot of people identified with, but as like a young kid, I remember like latching on. Like I really felt like my grandfather was Sanford from like Sanford, like Fred Sanford.
Wow.
And that's weird. Like I felt like they even looked alike, because like Fred Sanford was like a really light-skinned black guy, and my grandfather,
They
now
did
we
have the
know.
same kind of face.
Yeah, now we know my grandfather, because I got the DNA test done. He's like 1/16th African. So he was really like a dark-skinned white person, or he was just so much percentage African that it made him, dark, and then Irish, I guess. So I don't know.
Well, he was just very tan because he
He
was
was,
out and
but
outside
he
all
didn't
day.
have tan lines. But I'm just saying, like, he didn't have any tan lines. I remember thinking like that was all because he was out in the sun,
Yeah.
but he didn't have tan lines from shirts or anything. Like he really was that color. Anyway, so it's just interesting though, and those are fictional shows, and we're talking about a reality show, and that's different. But yeah, I think it's really helpful when you can see it outside of yourself with other people, even when like the facts of the situation are different. Like you're clearly not Amish, but
Well, they're
the
not
dynamics are,
Amish. I'm telling you, they're not
they're not
Amish.
Amish.
I
They're not
assumed it was an
Amish.
Amish people show because Welcome to Plathville just sounds like the kind of show where
They're
it's
not
like
Amish at all.
all, no, they're like uber
Oh, they're.
Christian. They're uber Christian. Well, here's the
Oh,
thing, they're uber
interesting.
Christian, but their parents didn't allow them to go to the church because they had like some falling out with the church, or like they didn't believe, they weren't, the church wasn't like hardcore enough for them. Or so I like it was really intense when like the older siblings got me, like one of the older siblings got married and they started going to church, and he was like, this is what church is like, this is amazing, like this is cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds interesting. I will definitely have to watch it.
But
Since,
yeah, it
yeah.
is like, I don't know, it's just it's definitely made me look at a lot of situations in my life differently. I will say
Yeah.
that.
Well, I will watch it, and I'll tell you on another podcast, like if I get a sense of where I feel like maybe stuff that, because I'm wondering if this is like applicable to other people, or if it's really very specific to you and your family. Like, I wonder if I
Yeah.
will identify with it, or if it'll feel like foreign.
I feel like you will watch it and be like, oh my gosh, that person is so much like this person in your family. By me, my family. Like, I think that you will be able to relate to it through my family, for sure.
Okay. Well, good. I love a good TV recommendation. And I think probably Discovery Plus is going to be like our only streaming service pretty soon, because we're like we got rid of Netflix. I'm about to cancel. I'm like binge watching the last season of RuPaul's All Stars, and then we're getting rid of Paramount Plus.
Oh
And
wow, I forgot Paramount Plus existed.
yeah, and then we've just realized I guess somebody did a free trial of like HBO Max and forgot to cancel it. So we just realized we're paying like $20 a month for HBO Max.
Wow.
So we're gonna cancel that. There's really no good shows on there that I
There
was
was
like, if
stuff on
something.
HBO Max that I really liked, but I can't remember what it was. Or maybe movies randomly.
I'm waiting for Handmaid's Tale, the new season, to come back out, and then we'll sign up for Hulu just long enough to watch that. But yeah, I'm like eliminating. I realize we're paying like $100 a month to stream like so many different services,
We pay
and
a
because
lot too, which is weird because we don't actually watch that much TV.
And I think it's because like it's spread out over like different credit cards and debit cards. And the other day, I just sat down and like looked at all of it, and I'm like, what shows? Like, let's pull up all these platforms and tell me what show are you watching that you can't live without? Like, what movie is on here that you just like, we couldn't even identify anything on any of these platforms that we were watching. And
I will
so,
tell you, the only platform that I use is Discovery Plus. Personally, we have started watching the new season of Stranger Things, just because we had watched the other ones and it's something to do on date night. But
I mean, I want to watch Stranger Things. I'm not there yet. Like, I'm honestly at a place where like I just don't want to be held up into a series, and I'm not in a binge watching place in my life right now,
they're
so.
very long too. Like the each
But
episode
I
is very long.
really I love Winona Ryder, and I love the 80s. Like, Chris just found out, my husband, he just found out that there's a show about the 80s, like, because my teenager was like, the show is like about the 80s and has Winona Ryder in it. And he's like, how do I not know about this? And I'm like, everybody knows about Stranger Things. Like, I am also in shock. I have just chosen intentionally to wait to watch it till I was like ready to give myself to it. But they keep coming out with new seasons, which makes it even like more like
Well, it's
difficult.
funny
It's
because
like it's gonna be a lot to watch.
I don't re well, unless you do it like me and watch them all in a week.
Don't have it
I
like that.
genuinely don't remember any of the prior seasons of Stranger Things, like at all. So when we started watching this one, like it's one of those shows where I don't actually like the show. I like the idea of the show, and like I really, really detest like that strongly. It's that strong. Like 90% of the characters. But it's just we're involved now. And I'm not really that, like I'm not that involved. I really don't world, I don't like the show. I mean,
Interesting.
there are things about it that I like and things about it that are interesting, but in general, I don't understand it. It's really violent. Like to be a show
Really?
that's all kids. I really enjoyed it when like in the first season or whatever, when the kids were little, but now they're all old and it just feels weird. It feels
And I'm
weird
seeing
watching
them
old
on,
kids.
yeah, because I'm seeing them on interviews, and yeah, now they're all older, and that's always an issue when kids get older.
Yeah,
So,
it's not really fun
well,
anymore. But anyway, so that's
all
really
right.
just my update. I've been obsessed with this Plath Phil show, and I'm like super emotionally involved in this show. Like every time they talk about this like dead kid too, I'm like, girl, I'm bawling. Like I can't even handle. Like it's the kind of thing where it completely. And I mean, I mean, real life. These things happen all the time, but it's one of those things where every single time I hear it, it shakes my entire belief system because that's one of those things where it's like, how can that happen in the world? Like the mother accidentally ran over him with a bunch of her kids in the car and all the kids like sitting there watching. And like, I legit just like can't even, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling you now because if you watch the show,
Like
it's going to be one of those things where.
the fact that she hasn't committed suicide.
But like, that's the thing. Like, I'm telling you now because I feel like it's one of those things where I kind of wish someone had emotionally prepared me for that when I was watching the show because I was
Yeah, I'm not
really
sure I'm
not
gonna watch it
ready to
now
see
because
that.
I
I mean, I was not
can't
ready,
deal with
and it
that.
happened like over a decade ago, you know, but it's just like, but they go to hit to the cemetery for his birthday and stuff like that, and like they talk a lot about how, well, they talk a little bit about how they like just the mom just completely shut down after it happened, and then they just acted like it never happened and just
Yeah, oh,
didn't
I'm
talk about
sure.
it. So the
That's, I
kids
mean,
like never processed it, and They were like,
Well, thank you for
several of
warning
them were
us.
like in the car. Well, yeah,
I would
I
have been
mean,
like, oh, this great show, and this baby dies because of some
yeah, I
crib,
mean, it's
whatever
really.
that thing is, like crib syndrome or whatever. Darn.
It's
But
really just, it's so, and I mean, it's just like,
it's literally like one of my biggest fears as a parent. Yeah, I was like
I think
really careful to censor it.
that's a thing. It makes you like so insanely grateful for every like second that you get, because that stuff really does happen like all the time. And you know, it also kind of makes you give some grace, because you really don't know like what's going on with other people. You know, you really don't know what other people have been through. And like, that's the kind of thing that, like, I mean, I can't even, I genuinely, like, when I'm watching it, I'm like, I can't fathom that. But then I'm like, I don't want to fathom that. And I just, like,
No.
I don't even want anything about that in my head, because I don't even want to, like, invite any kind of thoughts like that or vibes or, like, whatever. I don't want it anywhere near me. But yeah, it's just like, things like that happen way more than we think that they do. So, you know, it's just like, I
Yeah.
don't know. I don't know. It's like, as soon
Scenario
as
is
you become a
different.
parent, yeah, it's like you're afraid
Yeah.
of literally everything. Everything is like a disaster possibility, you know?
Yeah. And I will say that like my oldest is about to turn 17, and like yesterday I dropped him off at the fair. That was a first, you know. And we're joking about, are we gonna meet you at the Rocket? You know, like old South Carolina State Fair jokes. But I mean, we're like, and like my husband's like, so, you know, your kid could get shot at the fair. And I'm like, yeah. I'm actually expecting my kid to be shot at the, like I go into every scenario like worst, like the worst case is absolutely an option. You know, I may never see my kid again. Like I want to make sure I'm like aware that I really, you know, like I love you. Like I take an extra glance, you know, before we pull off. 'Cause like you could the fairground, like I assumed that the ride would fail and they would all be killed. Like that's how I parent. Like and
Okay,
like every
we're in
moment is
like
our
way
last.
too in bad juju mode right now, so we need to switch and start talking about what
Right,
we
we're
were
gonna go
talking
into
about.
more positive subject matter,
Yes,
but
please.
for
Let's do.
real, that's the real of parenting. And
Yeah,
I think
it is. I mean, I was, you know, thinking about it the other day. Like, I used to be scared of so little, you know, like so few things, and I was all about like taking chances in life and like whatever. And now I'm scared of everything.
yeah.
Everything. It's like the most anxiety I've
Well,
ever felt in my entire life, and I plan to feel this way for the rest of my days.
I mean, I
So.
really feel like it gets a little easier when they're like this age is so scary because they can't even think to protect themselves. And then the toddler stage gets even scarier because they don't understand why you're trying to protect them from things. They're just mad that they can't
So
do
it's
the
just a
things they
fight.
want to do, like run into the road or run off of a cliff. You
Yeah.
know, like there
That's the
was
kind of
this,
stuff
like,
that terrifies me the most, is that it's just like my baby doesn't walk yet, but I'm just like, but then once he starts walking, it's literally just you know, how do I keep him attached? Literally attached to me,
Yeah, you just have
attached
to
for the rest of
follow
like
them.
the next 5 years
And
or
we got the
whatever.
little bracelet.
Yeah.
Like I bought the little bracelet thing, and we also had the leash because I was like, I don't care if this feels stupid because it felt stupid. But I'm like, but she doesn't want to always hold my hand when we're walking in public. Like she's better at it actually now that she's older. But when she was like just turning two, she could walk. She wanted to walk and she wanted to do her own thing. And the little wrist leash thing gave her some freedom, but if I needed to snatch her up quick because she was running to the road, like I had control. She wasn't going to be able to get away from me. So, yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. Anyway,
All
moving right
righty.
along.
Well, okay. So, fabulous new show. What's it called? Life in Platteville?
Welcome to Plathville.
Well, welcome to
Plath
Plathville.
is the last name of the people.
Oh, it does sound Amish.
Right?
Like,
It sounds like one of those Amish shows where the kids are, they have their little year at 18 or whatever, where they get to go out in the world and then decide if they want to come back. And I just assumed
Yeah.
that's what it was. And I was like, I don't need to watch one of those Amish shows. That's what I really appreciate about this Plathville show is that like it makes you really, I don't know, it gives you a real insight into what people's reasons really are. You know, like I am sure that like outside people who knew this family assumed that they were the way that they were because of, you know, religion or whatever, which is interesting because they hardly talk about that on the show at all. And but like watching it, you really start to and it's in at the in the fourth season or whatever, once the kids are kind of like comfortable and they're comfortable with the parents again or whatever, they start to ask, why did you raise us this way?
Yeah.
And it's kind of great because it's one of those things that there's so many things in life where you make a decision and you go down a path and you're so steadfast on this path and you're going to do it no matter what, even though you kind of think there might be other ways we could be doing this, you know, but you're like, nope, we've made this decision, so we're going to do it. And you can see that the parents are like, ugh, yeah, maybe that was, you know, I mean, but it's what we decided to do. And so
Yeah.
it's just really interesting, and it definitely makes you realize like it's okay to change paths if something doesn't seem like it's working, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Like, always better to abandon a bad path rather than,
Yeah. But sometimes that's
yeah.
hard to see, especially if you're stubborn or you're like you're really set in your ways. Or you're just, I can imagine with 9 children. I mean, that's a lot of little people who are questioning you or not questioning you. You know, that's a lot of people that if maybe you, for whatever reason, didn't feel heard. And now you've got all these people listening to you and looking up to you. That would be a hard spell to break, you know?
Yeah. Because kids, yeah, they like with cults, we've talked about this in other podcasts. Like, you can almost validate a cult belief by raising children in it, and the children don't know anything else. So they believe it so intently that it actually kind of helps to bolster the adults who kind of
Because
probably
then it's
understand
like, well,
that
this
that's
is why
not
we were
really the
doing it.
real. Yeah. You know, and it's like, I know, like, there's a lot of Mormons who have defected from the church, or like the Latter-day Saints, the people that one documentary I was talking about. Like, that's what's so like crazy is that like these kids that were raised into it and like their whole lives were about like fear-based religion, and they were a whole like they didn't even know anything else. They're whole bought in, you know?
Well,
And
that's
then
what's
the amount
interesting.
of like extracting your brain from that, it is intense.
Well, and it's
So.
because it's interesting too, because like, well, all of these kids don't feel the same way. There's like one of the girls who is super into this and thinks their parents were like completely on the right track. They're so grateful about the way that she
Weird.
was raised. Will do any like let her parents check her phone, like let you know, whatever. And then the other kids like won't do it at all. But at the same time, like you still, that belief system is still so ingrained that like then as an adult, you have, and everybody has to do this as an adult person, you look at how you were raised and how you're brought up and the belief system that you were brought up with, not just religious, but just life beliefs. And you have to sort through those and go, okay, do I really believe that? Like, and if so, why? You know, and a lot of people don't do that and they just live their lives, you know. So it's really interesting when people do and to watch that process.
Yeah, it's so different. And I know for us, I think we were the type of people where we had been raised a certain way, and it was pretty consistent, at least with our grandparents. But I'd say by 15, 16, we were like questioning a lot. And I think we both spent a lot of our older years, like older teenage years, early adult years, studying religion because we were so confused about how to make sense of how indoctrinated we had been with this Southern Baptist religion,
Which is
which is a
interesting too, because our grandparents were super in that, but then our parents weren't at all.
no, not at all. So yeah, I had like a very countering system of beliefs, and then I had an aunt who was like a Buddhist, and so she was kind of like filtering these like questions to me, you know, like, you know, question
That's cool.
things, Heather, you know, and I feel like she, like, I'm always who I've been, but she kind of sprinkled the fairy dust along the way to keep my brain from like getting totally trapped into that, because I think I was the kind of person where I would have wholeheartedly like swallowed that pill of Christianity 100% and gone just like nutso into it, kind of like what my grandparents wanted for me to do. I think they weren't even as religious as they wanted me to be. That's my older adult perception of it. I think they wanted to be these people,
That's how
and
my
so they tried to
grandparents were for
be.
sure.
Yeah, and so they tried to pretend to be these people, but the real people they were just humans living life and having experiences. But because Christianity was such a validation of your morality in the 50s and 60s and 70s, like you had to, all it was almost like you're a good person. Even like you watch these old Unsolved Mysteries episodes. Well, he was a good church attending man. Like it really became like your resume. And
Which
so
is, yeah.
that's weird. Like I'm glad
Well,
that I hope as a society we've moved away from that, because now when I like I almost people are like, okay, you're obviously using that to an end.
I would
Like
say
that is
that
not a validation.
very clearly, if you look at the political spectrum right now, if you look at the fact that Salman Rushdie like had a fatwa on his head 30 years ago and just now was nearly stabbed to death, I would say very clearly we have not moved away from that. We
That sucks.
personally have moved away from that, but as a society, absolutely not.
And that's the thing for me, is that society can be doing all kinds of things, and regional societies are different, you know, have their own things going. Like, I've got to live in the world that most suits who I am. And allows me to be the person that I need to be in order to have that sense of being fulfilled. And so I think even before I understood that, I was making that move. And even like I was saying, when we were 16 years old, and I started my separation from the church, it was very much about this, like, I've got to figure this out for myself, and then make those
Yeah,
moves
for
to
sure.
be in that place where I feel like I'm doing my best.
With you.
All righty. Enough of that. Okay, so I got an idea. Let's take a quick break here. We'll
Sounds
come
good.
back, and then we're going to talk about my trip to Alaska. All right, so we're back. Well, I have been so excited, Kelly. First, I have held so much information from you because I wanted to say it on the podcast, and we're going to be those
Okay,
people now.
cool.
Like where we can't talk about things because it has to be on the podcast. But so just kind of to back up here, I married my husband 6 years ago. One of the ideas we had for our honeymoon was to take a cruise to Alaska. They only happen in the summer. Our honeymoon was going to be in the summer. Unfortunately, I spent like a year's salary on our wedding, and we literally left for our honeymoon with like $500 in our pockets. Like the cruise to Alaska was not going to happen. But it's been on our list of things we have really wanted to do for a long time. So anyway, so this summer we did take a cruise to Alaska for 8 days. This was my very first cruise. My husband's been on many cruises. I'm not a cruise person, and I didn't even realize why until I actually was preparing for this cruise. And that's
I
because
mean, that's
cruises are
interesting though, because I am not a
super
cruise person
stressful.
either, like at all. Like it would never. Going on a cruise is not something that I would ever in my entire life choose to do, except like Alaska is absolutely the exception.
Yeah, agreed. Like, before I left, we talked a little bit, and you were like, cruises are gross. And I'm like, ditto. It feels so gross. Like, because it's such a Caribbean thing. You just go to these islands that are like honestly impoverished, and you go to these ports. Like, that's how I feel about the whole like Middle and South America. I'm like, but these cruise destinations are just exploitation of places where, Labor is really cheap because people are so poor.
Yeah, and
India,
you
so
just,
much of India when I went there was like that.
you don't see anything of like the actual place that you're going to. Like, I just don't understand the point of a, like, I just don't get, it's just to drink and like be on a boat, really, is what I think.
And to me, this is my thoughts. To me, it's for people who love to spend as much possible time in a bikini as they can. I am not that person. I do not need to
That
be in a
hadn't even
bathing suit
occurred
or a
to me.
bikini at all. And I'm not a water person. I'm not a sand person. I don't like any of those things, you know? So yeah, no, I've just had zero desire. I've heard about people, like my husband's talked about some cool Caribbean cruises. He swam with the dolphins in like Guatemala or something. Anyway, I'm like, yay, that sounds fine for you. But I just like nothing in me like, oh, I really want to do that.
Yeah.
But the Alaska cruise, it's so different. Like, it's not about being in like sunny tropical locations in your bikini. It's actually about visiting this one really unique part of Alaska that you can't get to other than on a boat or by a plane because it's not connected in any way to the road system. You can't get there by car. So to me, it's like really unique. And you're going to see a lot of, like, I would hope, untouched land and geography and just beautiful nature. So we plan to go on this cruise to Alaska. And I wasn't really prepared for what that meant. I knew I wasn't a cruise person, but I hadn't really delved into what does cruise vacation or whatever mean, like what all goes into it. So I don't want to just come on here and talk about like, oh, this amazing thing I went and did. Although it was amazing, but I do kind of want to like tell you guys the stuff that I feel like nobody talks about when it comes to cruising, especially
Cool.
in today's world with COVID still being like very much a thing and cruises being very much like an organism. Like that's a confined space that people are
Assume that
on.
if you go
They're
on a
trapped.
cruise, you are just going, you're asking to get polio, monkeypox, and COVID.
Well, that's the funny thing. I was more afraid of monkeypox by the time I got on this cruise than I was of COVID, which is really
Yeah,
saying
that's,
something.
yeah.
So anyway, so I kind of just want to like take this opportunity to share the good, the bad, like what I learned. And maybe for those of you out there who haven't taken a cruise, Kelly, I know you haven't, or maybe a cruise to Alaska is something you're thinking about. Like, just sort of like, okay, well, here's what I've learned, and I totally think I should share it with you guys. So
Cool.
are you ready?
I
Okay.
can't wait.
So, okay. But before we jump into that, like any good person who's preparing to cruise through icy waters, to prepare myself for that experience, I watched Titanic because wouldn't that be what you do to
I mean,
prepare?
you do know that like a month before your cruise, a cruise
Yes.
ship like hit an iceberg and
Norwegian.
had to come back.
Yes. Exactly. So like we're talking in the previous segment about preparing for the worst. Like that's my style. I need to just get my mind set, like what's gonna happen, like if we hit an iceberg. What's the worst case scenario? Because Titanic is truly the worst case scenario of what could happen. So I just want to say, and I've watched Titanic as an adult, and I've had this sort of feeling, but as I get older and I rewatch these movies, you know, we did that whole episode about movies that ruined us. Titanic, you need to be on the list of movies that ruined me. Like, can we talk about what a terrible love story that is? Like, I'm going to personally hold Titanic responsible for the number of times in my life that I have chosen the poor guy over like a stable male who cared for me because Titanic,
That guy was a
oh
jerk,
my
though. That guy was like a total
that guy
jerk.
was a jerk, but I'm just saying, like, I'm rewatching this and like packing or whatever and getting ready for this cruise. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, it's that they had to kill Jack just because the reality of what would have happened in that relationship if he had survived and she had actually gone on to date. Like, They would
Well,
have
I
just had
think
some miserable life, I'm pretty
so. The
sure.
point I think of Titanic was that it's great to have like a great love, but then they no longer exist. So you can still like pine for a great love, but really you just live out your
Yeah.
days as like a kick-ass single person with a big diamond.
Yes, because that's what she did do. She did go on to have this amazing life, but my thinking, so I was like just sitting there thinking, like at this age, knowing what I know now, if he had survived and she had abandoned her wealth or her perceived wealth, because remember, her family's destitute, she has to marry Cal in order for them to even survive. So she gets off the boat. She doesn't marry Cal. She goes with Jack. Her mother probably commits suicide because she is poor and has nothing. But even if she doesn't, I doubt she would warmly receive Rose back when the absolute doomed to fail relationship with Jack comes to an end, you know? So it's like, does she have any idea what this really means for her life? Like, I get that she feels trapped in the rich life, and I'm feeling that for you, lady, but
I think we gotta circle back to Alaska.
I just want to
And
call
to
you out,
digress.
Titanic. Like, and women out there, do not just date poor people because like that whole like
Do
whirlwind
not
romance
date
with a
poor
poor man.
people.
Don't just don't do it. It's
Do
good for
not date
the
poor people, but you definitely want rich people to date you as a poor person. Please,
Yes.
rich
Like,
people,
can we
date
focus
the
on
poor
the
people.
important thing? So anyway, so I just needed to
Yeah.
call out Titanic there for a minute and just say
Yeah.
that it really, I watched it and had like such a different reaction to that movie this time than I ever had had before. Okay. So anyway, so let's get back to like preparing for the cruise. So this was by far the most stressful vacation I have ever had to prepare for. And let me tell you for a few reasons. One, like when you prepare to go on vacation generally, you're in control of like things that happen. And if something bad were to happen at some point, you can abandon that vacation. Like if you're
Yeah.
driving or even if you're flying and you're in a location and you get sick. Or you have a family emergency, you can just leave. You can get on a plane and go home. You can get in your car and go home. A boat, you're like trapped. Like, of course, you port, and obviously, in case of an emergency, they would accommodate you. But still, it's a totally different feeling to
Yeah, I
be
think that
like,
you just convinced me to never go on a cruise.
but I had not even thought about that.
I
Like, it had
hadn't thought
never
about that
occurred to me
either.
that I would be the least in
You
control
have
of
no
my
control. Yeah.
life, and you're in the ocean. Yeah. So no, I really started to flip out. I kind of actually lost my shit, like not just kind of freaked out, but like mentally, I went to a dark place before this happened that I wasn't prepared for. I had just didn't have a point of reference for this. We have a young almost 3-year-old child. I'm leaving my teenager at home alone for 9 days. And if something were to happen to him, I wouldn't be able to get home. Like, if something were to happen to my baby, I wouldn't be able to just rush home. If something were to happen to the caregiver, I mean, like, all these things are going through my mind. Like, I am totally, to some extent, powerless. And I have to trust that all the things I've set in place are going to work while I'm gone. So my stress to make sure that everything was well organized was beyond anything I'd ever experienced before.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, no, I actually was not ready for that. The other piece that made this even more challenging than I think probably it would normally be, when that was the only thing I had to consider, was that we're still in the age of COVID. Summer is about all these big events are starting to happen more. Like everything's kind of back to normal. Everybody's doing their things as normal this summer for the first time in 2, 3 years. So numbers are up in Oregon, I know at least.
Yeah.
And the cruise requires you to get COVID testing before you get on this boat. And the COVID test is the gateway to whether you enter that boat or not. And never in my life, and even though we got a really good deal, like this was a really special experience as far as like how much we financially had to put into it, it still was the most amount of money I've ever front-ended into a vacation. Like usually you buy plane tickets and you leave and you spend money along the way.
Right, and you can
Here,
change what you need to.
yeah, here you have to put all the money into the pot.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait till the day before to take a COVID test to find out if you get to get on that boat. And I read, you know, me with my little legal research thing I do, I tried to find every small print I could. There's nothing about a refund or a transfer policy of the money you've invested.
Wow.
Nothing mentioned at all. So I have no way to even rest my mind that it's okay. If we test positive, or if one of us tests positive, which was like the worst case scenario, it'll just be transferred and we'll go next summer or whatever. I couldn't find anything. So to me, I'm like, do we just lose thousands of dollars if we test positive for COVID?
Probably.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I don't know if I can deal with that. Like, I was like, up to the last minute, like, I'm not sure I can handle this. Like, all the other things I've got to think about. And then this COVID test. Well, that's the other thing I kind of want to talk about, because while I think it's starting to go away, this whole thing with the COVID testing for cruises, I really want to hone in to like, this was a particularly unsettling scenario for me. So I just want to give a disclaimer here. I am pro-vaccine and I am pro-testing for COVID. I don't want to be on a boat with a bunch of people with COVID. I'm all for that. What this is with the test is like very scammy feeling to me. And we knew we had to get tests lined up. They only accept the rapid antigen test, which is the test you have to pay for. It runs about $60 a test. It has to be done anywhere from 1 to 3 days before the cruise, depending on whether or not you're vaccinated. And the only place to get it is through these like pop-up independent private testing centers. You can't go to your doctor. You can't go to the hospital and get a rapid antigen test. You have to get it at one of these like weird, scammy looking type places. They're
Right.
only in major cities, so I couldn't get one even in Eugene. Like we live in a
Interesting.
tiny town. But Eugene didn't have any of them. So you get them in Portland or Seattle because we're leaving out of the Seattle port. So we can't even, like, I would have done the test 3 days in advance, but I'd have had to drive to Portland to get it and then come back home.
But which is actually all like total BS because you go have a test 3 days before something and then you go party and get COVID, and then you have COVID that you spread all over a boat. I don't
So
understand that.
we scheduled our test for the last available slot the night before the cruise left. The most accurate possible result, right? You get the results back from a rapid antigen test in anywhere from like 15 minutes to an hour. We could still go out Saturday night and get COVID and get on the cruise and have COVID on the cruise.
I also think those are
Like,
like some of the most unreliable tests that you
okay.
get.
For sure. So let me just kind of though tell you like what happened to us. So I have actually looked online and I just would abandon it. I'm like, Chris, all of this looks like a scam. I don't like none of these are reliable looking doctor's offices. Like all these places you go, I just don't even, it doesn't even feel right. And you have to prepay and the whole thing felt bad. So my husband finally, he picks his place in Portland. We're gonna drive up then we actually we're gonna drive up 2 nights early, go to into Portland then the first night, then get tested at the hotel. We're racing, we're in the car, we're driving like maniacs through traffic trying to get to this other testing center before they close for lunch. Because we know that if this one won't take us, they don't have any appointments available. We're just hoping they'll take us. We've got to drive all the way to Seattle and then just hope we get one in Seattle. Because then that's it. That's all you have the chance. Like the most stressful possible scenario. We've raced to this place. We get there before they close for lunch. Nobody there. Nothing. So we're like, this is a, I'm like, this is a scam. The cruise is a scam. The test is a scam. Everything's a scam. This is all total BS. So, anywho, long story short, we found another testing agency altogether. We paid a second time. We get a
Wow.
test from them. We're still waiting on a refund from the first place. We'll see if they ever refund that money at all, because that was $120. We had prepaid for that test. We go in and we're telling the people all this stuff, and they're like, yeah, well, it's fine. It's gonna be okay. Like they were saying, like they knew we were gonna pass the test. And I'm like, but how could you know that? They didn't even go that far up in our nose. They like went to like just the like right inside. I'm like, okay, I feel like you guys are just charging people $60 to hand them a positive test result so that they can get on a cruise, so that the cruise can tell the CDC they're complying with testing. I'm like, this is absolutely a scam.
Well,
This
because
is
also I
all
think
around.
that the people who go to places like that are also people who have to get tested for work like every week or something like that. And nobody wants people out of work because they have COVID. So they're like, everybody passes.
Yeah,
Nobody
so
has
I got
COVID.
on that cruise. I was thinking it would be devastating if I found out I had COVID and couldn't get on the cruise. Well, but I wouldn't want to be on the cruise with anyone that tested positive. But when I left that testing center with my negative result, I was like, I don't believe that anybody that tested negative for this cruise actually tested negative. So we're probably all going to get COVID. We've been back for 7, 8 days. I have not gotten COVID yet. We didn't get it
That
on the
you
cruise. I
know
haven't
of.
gotten it yet that I know of.
You could be asymptomatic.
That was the other thing I was telling the tester people. I was like, and I feel fine, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, I could be a carrier. Like, we just went camping. We had this big work party, and I'm masked for all of it, like trying to make sure I'm not sick. It was crazy. I hated every moment of that whole experience. And I will say that when we finally got through security and processing and got onto that boat, there was a feeling of like relief. Like, okay, this wasn't a scam. The cruise wasn't a scam. The COVID test, whatever it, I'm on the boat. And now I'm going to really try to enjoy these next 8 days. And so I did, but I just feel like if you ask people like that go on cruises and they're like, oh, it was amazing. Oh, there was so much food. We ate, we were sick. I feel like there's a lot more that goes into this that people don't
So
tell
that's
you
what I want to
about.
ask you about too, because so I did actually used to work for a place that booked things like cruises and other experiences, and you would like go to a different site, the cruise site or whatever, to set up your food. So that's the thing that I would like to ask you about, because so for me, one of my favorite things about vacationing is finding like good local food, right? Food is
Yeah.
like my main reason for going to some places. And so the idea of like there being a particular food, I don't have a choice. I probably don't even have a choice because I'm vegan or vegetarian, you know, like how does the food thing work out?
Yeah. No, I'm glad you asked that question, because this was actually one of the pieces about the cruise I wasn't into, because I was just saying, like, everybody says, like, how much food is on a cruise? And I'm like, that sounds gross. My least favorite thing is being in a bathing suit and being overly full.
Yeah,
So back to
for
the
sure.
Caribbean cruise thing. So we were on Princess, and I think every cruise is a little bit different, but I feel like the dining is kind of an established system for most cruises now. So there's a buffet, like almost an entire floor of the cruise ship is a buffet. There were on this one, there's two different buffets that serve kind of similar but kind of different things. They're pretty much open all day to like 11 o'clock at night. And each dinner time they would do like a specialty. So they had like Indian buffet one night. I want to say this was actually one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. I was pleasantly surprised by how many vegetarian options vegan less, but vegetarian for sure. Because unfortunately, a lot of times with vegetarian food, they lean into the dairy or the eggs, thinking that that's what vegetarians are wanting. But there was so much, like even outside of the Indian buffet night, so much Indian food, which is a lot of vegetarian. So many different types of ethnic food, so many different things. And even in one meal, like the food would be constantly changing. So you could, like, I would always go get a salad first. And then by the time I got back up there, there'd be like new different vegetarian things that I hadn't even seen the time before. So pleasantly
And maybe
surprised by
that is a
how.
reason to go on a cruise, like just for the food. Like if you just want to pick out and just eat all the
Which I
time.
didn't want to do, but I will say that we ate literally nothing off of the boat because all of our food was paid for. So we went with very little money. We really aren't the kind of people that can afford an $8,000 cruise. We didn't spend $8,000 on this cruise, but we still went with only a few hundred dollars to spend. And so my thought was, everything that we don't need to pay for, I don't want to pay for it. Like if we can eat for free, we would be out in a town for 8 hours walking and like not eating, like drinking water from our like reusable water bottles, not eating and waiting till we could get back on that boat so that we would, and then we would eat there. But so anyway, so you've got the buffet that's kind of there all the time, and that's part of what's included. And then there's also three main dining rooms that serve a different menu every day. Sometimes they're open for breakfast and lunch, but they're always open for dinner. And so you can book reservations, and that's no added fee. So that was nice. And there was a lot of vegetarian options, not every night, but some nights more than others. And so, like, I had a really good eggplant parmesan. Of course, that's going to have dairy in it. And I did have a mushroom lasagna that had a cashew-based ricotta cheese substitute. So, I mean, there were totally like pretty decent options for somebody that didn't want to eat meat. Of course, lots of meat there, but I was actually surprised. I wasn't sure what it was going to be like. So then, in addition to the main dining rooms, there's multiple restaurants that specialize in certain things. Some of them are included, and some of them have another upcharge. So there's like a fancy Italian restaurant that has an upcharge. We did go there one night. There was a fancy French restaurant that had an upcharge. We went there one night.
When you
But
say
there's
upcharge, what
other.
exactly do you mean? Like you
So
pay a
the.
set amount or you pay
Yeah.
for
So it
all the
was
food?
$30 a person to sit. And then the menu is like really like fine dining quality. And it's like a five course meal, and you can pick from a variety of options. Those I would say probably were a little harder to navigate as a vegetarian, but still lots of good vegetarian options on those. So yeah, so you can pay more and eat different types of foods, but there's more than enough options. There's pizza and ice cream and, you know, a little bar pub type place. You know, like there was so many different things you could go to. They were all included in just the base price of your cruise. So yeah, and I did want to talk a little bit about hidden charges, because that's the other thing I don't think people talk about
Yeah, I
with
definitely want
cruises.
to know about that. I want to know about
So.
that because every time something says like all inclusive or whatever, I'm like, like you have to tip. That's a thing that people, when I
Yes.
worked for that place, that was one of the questions that people like always ask. Like, well, are tips included? Are tips not included? Are like tips to like drivers and whatever?
Yeah, tips is a huge hidden fee on cruises. Now, we had a package that covered all your tips. But even then, I think there were tips outside of that that weren't included in that tip package. So we also got the beverage package. That was one of the like VIP upgrades that we got for no charge through the kind of VIP deal we had. So we had a beverage package, which actually, fine print, you get 15 not water, tea, or lemonade beverages a day. So sodas, any alcohol, you are up to 15 per
Per
person a
person?
day.
Oh, that's
And
actually a
I have
lot.
learned that I cannot drink more than 10 beverages a day outside of water.
That's a lot of
It's a
beverages.
lot of beverages. So I'm like,
Oh,
yeah, I
but
think I
that's,
like
yeah,
max
that's
out at
another
10.
question. Like a lot of people ask, like, is alcohol included?
So it's not. And actually, just soda is not included. You really, if you have a base package, it's water, lemonade, and tea. And that's it. And they ask you every time you sit at a restaurant, every time you order a drink, they ask you, do you have a beverage package? Now, you do wear this little thing. It's like a medallion on a lanyard, and it's got a microchip in it. And so when you go into a bar or a restaurant, they have like a little handheld, like cell phone looking device, and it can read all the medallions of the people around them. So they just need to make sure they find you. It's got your picture attached to it. And then they can, sometimes they'll ask you, do you have a beverage package? But a lot of times they'll just ask you, what's your name or what's your cabin number, just to make sure they've got you connected with your profile. And then they can see it's a beverage package. But yeah, so normally tipping is, so you could get off that boat if tipping is not included in your package. And every time you had room service, or every time you had somebody bring you a drink, or every time you ordered anything or got anything, there's this automatic tip that's involved. So you could legitimately walk off a cruise ship and end up looking at your credit card statement and have like hundreds of dollars of tips that you didn't even know were coming because you didn't read all the fine print or do all the research. And so even though we had a tip package that covered that, I still was constantly aware and was preparing for those upcharge restaurants. It says at the bottom of the menu, there is an automatic 18% gratuity added into this. And I was thinking we might get charged for that when we got off the boat. We did not. Now, how much of that was covered because of our little VIP thing that was comping us for so much stuff, and how much of that was our tip package, I'm still a little unclear on. But I was pleasantly surprised that we didn't have to pay more tips than we did. The other thing, so we did a lot of like day spa stuff. So my big interest in going on this cruise ship is because they have like a world-class day spa. And we started out with a $300 credit at the day spa, and then we ended up getting actually added in more stuff. But at the end of every service, you sign a receipt and they add in their own tip of a certain percentage. And those tips were going anywhere from $25 to $50 per service. That was all comped, but I think that was because of the VIP thing we
That's
were
why I
doing.
just don't do anything outside of my
Yes.
home.
So I do want to talk a little bit about the day spa thing. So, I mean, first of all, day spa stuff on a cruise, way more expensive than it is in real life. So the first thing I got done was an acupuncture appointment,
Ooh.
$179 for
Holy wow.
1 hour. And a
Wow.
20, and I think it was a $30 tip was automatically included. So we're talking over $200. But it was the best acupuncture I've ever had in my life. Like, at least it was the best I've ever had. Like, it
I
would
feel
be
like
terrible
if
if I
you
was like,
are in the ocean, like on the ocean, looking at like icebergs and whales and stuff, and you still have to pay $200 for some for a facial or something, there might be something really, that might be something that a cruise can't fix, you know? I mean, like,
again, I'm coming from a place where we didn't pay for any of this. This was all stuff
that's
that we got covered. I
insane.
would not have paid this if it was coming out of my own pocket. But I will say that the tips were shocking. That, and
Yeah.
again, that would just be stuff that would be added to your bill and then would be charged to you at the end of the cruise. So I got acupuncture. My husband got a facial and a haircut with like a neck and arm massage, which was actually really lovely. And he learned all about skincare and collagen. It was so exciting. He comes out like, like he always makes fun of me for being like so into skincare. And he came out of that. I'm like, dude, you're see? See? Like you can't get a facial and not like obsess about this stuff now.
It's fascinating.
So anyway, so he was all like prettied up, which was really nice. And then the second thing I got was a body wrap, a seaweed body wrap, and then they did a full body massage. And that was the best body wrap. It was 2 hours long. It cost $300. Didn't pay for it, but it was so good. Like everything about it was better than any other body wrap I've ever had. So totally worth it. Oh, and can I just side note here that my body wrap massage therapist person was from India? and she went cuckoo over my tattoo. Like, I actually was like, is this gonna be bad? Is she gonna be like, are you misappropriating my relit? Like, what is this on your arm? Because I was like all excited to go get this body wrap, and then I had like this moment of like, what if she like hates me for being a white person with like all this Indian like stuff on my butt? No, she went crazy and was like in love with it and talked about it the entire time. And she was
Aw,
like asking me all these stuff about like Hindu religion, and I'm
that's
like,
cool.
I'm actually not Hindu. I just really love this one goddess. So, anyway, if you haven't listened to our episode about the Durga tattoo, like go
Or
back because,
India.
or
Oh, there's
India, my trip
India.
to India.
Yeah, that was a great one.
And actually, that was the other thing because I did like on the cruise ship, we're in Alaska, so it was actually very cold outside, but in the cruise ship, it's all very climate controlled. So I did walk about quite a bit in like sleeveless dresses. And multiple random Indian people complimented me on my tattoo. So I felt like
Cool.
really good. And not like sarcastic or like weird, like genuinely like, wow, that is really, really nice. So I was like,
Nice.
okay, Indian people like my tattoo. Because I want to say this, and then we're gonna move on. But that was the highest concentration of Indian people I've had the pleasure to encounter outside of India on that cruise. Like there's like
Fascinating.
both staff and guests, lots of Indian people. So that was kind of like the added bonuses for me. It was, got to be back with the people I love so very much. So, all right. Okay. So I feel like I've covered like the negative stuff. I mean, I really just wanted to be realistic with you about like to me what was like the pitfalls of this
Yeah.
and hidden fee. Yes, you've got to do your research on that stuff. They're all over the boat. Now, there is so much stuff that is free. And so you can totally fill up your time. Even if you didn't get out at the port, you could fill up your time with free stuff on the boat. And so, yeah, for that, I like really appreciate it. I did lots of fun free stuff, like little mini facials you give yourself, and they just provide the products and dance classes and game shows, like. We did some comedy shows and
And do you
we saw a
get like when you go
magician.
to a hotel and you get like soap and shampoo and like all the things that you need, do you get all that stuff too?
So, yes, and in the way that I prefer, because I will say that cruises have become very mindful of how they can be like floating trash things. People, like, if you have lots of mini bottles of soaps and there's no plastic straws at all on the cruise. They don't even offer you a straw. And if you beg for one, they'll give you the paper straw, which I actually would prefer to just not use a straw. But so they do the refillable permanent. They have like shampoo and body wash, and they have hand soap and hand lotion. No mini bottles, though, all the refillable stuff. I actually brought all my own stuff because I knew that cruise security is not airport security. You don't have to just bring like travel size stuff. You can bring full size things. So I just brought our full size everything and we used our stuff throughout the trip. But I was appreciative of how mindful they were about small plastic types of trash. And I will say that like part of being on a cruise is like they literally care for you like a baby. Like, I was scared to get off this boat because I'm like, I don't know how to feed myself. Like, how do I clean up after myself? They're so attentive. Your room is cleaned every time you leave it. They clean your room and make your bed and make everything pretty again.
That would make
And
me feel kind of unsafe, though. Like, even in hotels, I don't like people coming into my room. I always have the do not disturb on.
yeah. Well, here it's kind of an understanding because, again, you've got your medallion. So the medallion is pretty much notifying them that you're not in the room. And we didn't really have anything valuable. We didn't bring anything valuable with us.
Oh, that's weird that they know where you are all the time. I mean, that's great, but also very
I mean, it's good.
creepy.
It's good. But yes, I kind of want to talk about this too. It's good. Yes, it feels creepy. Yeah, I hear you, buddy. But I felt like they use it all for good. You know, they're not data mining you. They're not trying to take advantage of you. They are trying to honestly make your experience the best so that you come back and you do it again. And so I loved, like, for me, I get up first out of our bed. My husband, if he's home, is always asleep when I leave for work. It's a miracle if he's even rolled over and been like, have a good day. So the fact that every time we left the room, we came back to the bed being made, because I can't make my own bed at home, it felt special. The sink was always clean. You know, there's no toothpaste in the sink. Like,
Yeah, that's
it was
cool.
a fresh towel hung up every time, twice a day. There's like everything was just perfect every time he came back to the room. And I agree, it's kind of creepy, but how nice it was and how good it felt to be treated that way or to have that kind of experience way superseded any creepy feeling. Because again, we didn't bring anything valuable. We didn't bring anything that we didn't even have cash really on us, you know, because everything was paid for. So anyway, I do want to talk about kind of the other thing I didn't realize was going to be so nice about being on a cruise. And that's, so like I work in like a branch of law enforcement, right? Like you're
Are you
on a
about to talk
boat.
about like cruise murders?
No, I'm going to talk about you're on a boat in the middle of the ocean. Like, and we had a balcony room. So you just like at night, you go sit on the balcony. There's no light, there's no streets, there's no police or sirens or meth. Like, there's no meth heads or homeless people. Like, all the like bad stuff in
So it's
life is
potentially
like,
really safe.
yes. Like, because you have to afford to be on a cruise. You know, like both me and my husband were like, this is the longest we've gone without seeing a meth head in years. Like, this is so exciting, you know? But yeah, like it's so peaceful out there on that ocean, especially at night, you know, and especially up in Alaska. Yeah, I just loved going out
I
and sitting on the
remember
balcony
from
at
Titanic
night.
before they saw the iceberg.
No, I mean, I feel like that's really realistic, you know? And we were seeing icebergs. Part of it is that you're cruising through like iceberg infested waters and looking at icebergs. You know, that was actually like a whole morning of our cruise. So before we wrap this up, I do just want to talk a little bit about the actual stuff you do in Alaska, which is the ports, because being on the boat's amazing in its own way, although stressful to get there.
Did you see
But we
bear
had,
and moose?
I didn't see any of that, but I
Oh.
saw whales and bald eagle.
Yay! Yay!
So we had three stops that we did. The first one was Ketchikan, which is considered like the gateway to Alaska or like the first city in Alaska. And so that's like a big salmon fishing area. That's like where the salmon come to spawn. So much of, like when you see wild Alaskan salmon, so much of it's coming from that area. So of course that town's got a lot of history with like salmon fishing, but there's a deep indigenous culture. That was the other kind of neat thing about Alaska, a lot of indigenous culture. We went to some really cool museums that focused in on like native art and things like that. So yeah, Ketchikan was pretty cool. We just literally walked around that city the whole day. I think we walked 7 miles that day. And so that was a nice little stop. But my favorite for sure was the second one, which was Juneau, which I think is the
Isn't that like a
capital.
military place? The
Well,
custodian at
Alaska.
my elementary school was in the military and lived in Juneau for a long time.
I can see that. Well, I mean, the reality is that Alaska is was purchased because of its military strategic location, right? Another thing I didn't realize, because we were like touring these towns, I'm like, why are there so many Russian stores? Oh, wait, we're like right by Russia. This is the closest I've ever been to
Could you
Russia.
see it from your house?
No.
Like Sarah Palin.
We weren't like in that part of Alaska, but yeah, so lots of Russian stores. We actually got a really cool nesting doll from one of the Russian stores for the baby.
Wait a minute, you like supported Russia while you were in Alaska?
We
That
also bought a Ukraine shirt from the Russian store, so I feel like we balanced
amazing.
it
Okay, I
out.
feel the
Although
balance,
I told
yes.
my husband, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about buying a Ukrainian shirt from the Russian store. Like,
That sounds so totally messed up.
well, we thought, well, so like the nesting doll, it was gonna be just like a little cute gift for the baby. We thought it was like $10. It was like $50.
Well, I mean, I guess that actually makes sense.
it's a really cool nesting doll, and I figure it'll be like a keepsake.
It's probably like handmade or something.
I'm sure. By some Ukrainian slave, right? That's who they got making these things. But Juno was amazing. So in Juno, we did a whale watching tour, and I've done those before. I did one in Boston. Didn't really see many whales. But this one got really high ratings. It's actually recommended by Discovery Channel. They say like this is one of the better whale watching. So I was like, this is the one. $180 a person to go on a boat into a bay and look at whales. That's a little bit crazy, but that's
Wow.
what it cost.
But you saw them.
But it
Like,
was
I've
so
paid
worth
less than
it.
that and not seen whales, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah. And they do say they'll give you $100 back if they don't see whales. But I mean, they can also be like, oh, that was a whale way out in the distance. Okay, we saw a whale. But no, this was honestly life altering. And I would have done this whole trip just for this. So, first and foremost, just driving to the boat, we saw so many bald eagles. They like perch up on the lampposts over the bay. Because it's like a good place to watch for fish. So probably, I mean, I've probably maybe once or twice in my life seen a bald eagle in the wild, but they were like everywhere and it was really awesome. So
So that's
that
really
was nice.
fascinating to me because my sister-in-law lives in Seattle and sees them all the time. I've seen them
Yeah.
here. Not
I'm
here, but where
sure
I
that
used
I'm
to live.
just, I'm not, I don't know much about bird. Like I wouldn't, if you didn't tell me that's a bald eagle, I'd be like, okay, there's a bird. It's just not a skill I have. Anyway, but the little guide person was like pointing out all the bald eagles, and it was really cool how many there were. So we get on this boat and we go out into the bay to go whale watching, and the captain guy comes on the little speaker and he's like, so I was just talking to one of the other captains on the radio who's coming back in, and he just saw an orca over here. So we're gonna go over here and see if we can find this orca. And
Wow.
I'm like, okay, I'm into this. Like, I thought we were just doing humpback whales, but orca, yes. Like, so we go to the area, and sure enough, this orca pops up.
Wow.
And we actually followed him for a while. He was really swimming along almost beside the boat, just, 50 or 60 feet away from us. And I got some videos of him surfacing. And I realized, I'm like, this is the only time I've ever in person seen an orca in the wild. Because orca is like, that's the SeaWorld thing. Like when we were kids, my grandparents took me
Yeah.
to SeaWorld. We saw what, Shamu. He did a little show. He did tricks. He was friendly. He splashed us. Everybody loves the orca. And then I'm an adult now and I realize like I would never take my kid to SeaWorld. Like I would
Yeah.
never financially support anything like that at all.
Yeah.
And so to get to go out into the wild and have like such a rare opportunity to see an orca and for him to be swimming or her to be swimming along beside the boat. I mean, for a while I felt like he was almost showing off, which was so cool. Like my husband actually got way more pictures and videos of him than I did. I posted like one little video on Instagram, but there were so many more moments that he popped up out of the water with the big fin, and it was just like it was profound. Like you could just feel like every time one of the whales that we saw would like crest the water, and you would see their flipper go up or something like. I just was like deeply moved because
Wow.
these are like the biggest mammals
Yeah.
on Earth. Like they live long lives. They have complex thoughts, relationships. I truly believe that. And we don't even understand any of that. And there they are, right there, almost putting on a performance at times, it seemed like, for these boats, So we finally had to abandon the orca because they're like, okay, guys, we're gonna run out of time.
Well,
We
they
gotta go.
probably were because they're super social, I think, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, they
yeah,
know
yeah.
hu what humans are. They're so smart.
Oh, for
And
sure.
I'm sure
That's
they're
why.
like, oh, that boat, one of those boats again. Look at all those people.
Yeah, I believe that. And so I really got into like the whole whale thing back when I went to college the second time, because I had to do all these science credits. I actually have a bachelor's of science undergrad. And
What?
so I
That's
have,
so weird.
yeah. And while it's in political science, I had to actually take all of these science classes. So I mean, it was like so much science. And so marine biology was definitely one of the more interesting sciences, like over like other stuff, like
Yeah, I
whatever.
totally wanted to major in brain
Chemistry.
biology and couldn't because I couldn't go to a school that had it, you know? So as an adult person, when I lived in San Diego, I actually volunteered at an aquarium, and I'm anti-aquariums, but this was like a huge research institute, and they did like all this conservation and stuff. And so I got to learn, like I got to teach kids, you know, like life on the rocks is rough, and learn all about tide pools and teach kids like to respect them, you know, and it was really cool.
I loved marine biology in college, and I had a really good teacher who was a lady who was actually very passionate and active in the field. And so I remember learning a
My
lot
baby is
about,
very into this. He's
that's
like,
okay. Hey,
it's
marine
like,
biology is exciting
oh,
stuff, dude.
so
I want to
exciting.
hear you. And you've got on your little, like, cute little outfit there with your alligators. Yeah, you're ready for it. So anyway, so yeah, so we had to finally leave the orca, even though I totally felt like he was aware that we were there and was like kind of showing off for us.
Yeah,
So
that's
we had to
so
leave, and
cool.
we went to an area where we did find four humpback whales. So it was really interesting because orcas are pod animals. They live in groups, but the orca we saw was a lone orca, so like a rare transient male who had gone off on his own in order to hunt different types of fish, and to be and so they're typically bigger because they actually get more food by becoming transient. So that was really rare. But then when we get to the humpbacks, we get to an area where there was four within the same area, and actually two were right there together. And that's rare because they live solitary lives. They
That's
don't
really
travel
interesting.
in family. But they will occasionally join forces to feed because they have some techniques that they have adapted over whatever millions of years or whatever, you know, to get more food because
I
they have to
wonder if
basically
that's
eat
like a
all day.
climate change thing. Like, I wonder if they have to do that now more because there's less food.
Maybe. But anyway, so I remember learning about this in marine biology. It's called bubble net feeding. And maybe you learned about it too, because you said you were really, really, really into it. So like two or three humpback whales will come together. They'll go way, they'll swim way down deep under the water, and then they'll start to come up, going in a circle and blowing bubbles. And they'll go up under like a school of fish and create basically a net of bubbles, and they'll push these fish up to the surface.
Yes, I have heard
And
of
you can,
this.
yeah, and you can identify it from a boat because seagulls will circle, because they will see the fish coming up to the surface, and they'll follow these bubble net feeding sessions. So they'll be diving down into the water. So you can see where the whales are going to come up by where the seagulls are circling.
Wow,
And
that's so
so
cool.
for a long time, we're just watching the seagulls circle, and then you'd see these two humpback whales come up on the surface and then dive back down. So their tails coming up, which is probably the most amazing part, when their tails come up. And I was just like, I was impacted deeply. Like, I just felt like me, I get this point where I'm at this point in my life where I feel like when I'm really in the groove with life or nature or something, there's almost like a hum to it, like that om sound almost like comes through your
Yeah.
body. And like every time I would see that one of those whales, the humpback or the orca, like crest over the top of the water with their, you know, fin or shooting up the water, and then their tail flapping, I just felt like that, like, oh, feeling with nature. And I was
Yeah.
like, oh, it just like almost knocked me back. It was amazing. And I would literally do that again in a heartbeat. So Alaska, Juneau, whale watching, life altering, like really, 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 like, I don't have a lot of pictures and videos because I truly was just trying to be
Yeah, you
present
were
in the
present.
moment. And my husband wasn't quite as excited about it, He would have rather like gone fishing or like gold mining. But he did that because this is what I wanted to do. So he actually took a lot more videos because to him, like to me, I was like, I remember learning about this. Like, oh my God, it was like all coming back to me, to watch like this kind of stuff happening in real life. So he actually got some really great videos because he was able to be a little less present in the moment, which is fine for him. But for me, I was just really trying to have that experience not through the lens of the camera or through the phone screen. So
Yeah, that's so
yeah,
important too. Like
super
I
powerful.
remember like that's kind of how it was when we went to Ireland, and I remember like one of our tour guides was like, take a few photos, take your photos, but then put the camera down and just be here, just have an
Yeah.
experience.
So I'm really glad you said that because I wanted to say that I went to Ireland probably 25 or more years ago, almost 30 years ago, Kelly.
Wow, we're old.
Wow. Oh, okay. This was the closest feeling. Like when we were just sailing through like the fjords with like the mountains on every side and the fog and the mist, like it was as close to the feeling I had when I was in Ireland. So I really, it's got some of that same magic. So, like, if you love Ireland, I think Alaska's definitely somewhere that you would enjoy. So, yeah, so the final port we stopped in was Skagway. Skagway is a town of 800 people. So, that's less
Ooh.
than the population of my town. So I was like, oh, this is going to be like a cute little quaint town. But actually, it's a stop for cruise ships. So, like every port we went to, there's multiple other cruise ships there. They're huge stops for cruises. They've got their tourist traps for sure. But I felt like Skagway was literally just a tourist stop. Everything in that town was designed. All the 800 people that live there, I'm sure, work in the
They work
tourism
in the
industry
tourism.
in some way or another. And I think that if I was to do this again, I would definitely plan some sort of a little expedition to go hiking or do something outside of that town because there were just, it just was gift shops, And we went and saw a little play that was like, I read
You
like the
saw a
bios.
play?
We saw a play. Well, it was like a musical. But I read the bios and like, so the people in the musical are all like well accomplished actors from like New York and all over the country that just come there for the summer to work because it's decent money. But yeah, so Skagway did not blow me away. Although I will say, leaving out of that port, I probably got some of the most beautiful pictures, like the mountains and the cliffs along the water were mind-blowing.
Wow.
So didn't love the town, but loved the scenery and loved everything about that area. And then it was kind of sad because you knew when you left there, you were on open water for a couple of days and then it's over. And that's kind of a bummer because there's like a high, especially like with the whale watching and the scenery, there was a high to it. And so then you start kind of coming down as you prepare to leave and then go back to the real world where you have to feed yourself and clean up after yourself.
So, how many days did it take you to actually get there on the boat, on the ship?
So we boarded on Sunday and we got to our first destination on Tuesday. So it took Sunday and Monday, and then we arrived in Ketchikan early, early Tuesday morning, like 5 a.m. Tuesday morning. And then we were in Juneau early Wednesday morning. And then we were in Skagway kind of late morning on Thursday. So it was 3 days back to back. And we walked an insane amount. And like I was saying, we didn't eat off the ship. So we are just out walking and not eating and drinking water. So it felt like
That's so
there was some balance. Well, because like when you're on the ship, it's like that's as much as a lush as I've ever felt. Like you're just like the whole thing's about catering to your every possible desire, food, alcohol, relaxation, entertainment, just constantly being offered to you in every direction. There's music playing everywhere you go, there's a piano player over here, a guitarist over there, a singer, a band. I mean, there's just anything you could wish of just happening at all times on that ship. And so it was kind of nice to balance that feeling of being so lazy
Yeah.
with like just being out in these ports and being like super active and exploring. And we tried to really stay off the beaten path. Like when we spent money, we tried to stay away from the gift shops and go to like local artists. And I bought a lot of really cool, unique art
I got your
that wasn't super
postcard, by
expensive.
the way.
I was just about to say, and because I was like, I kind of didn't want to spoil it. Like if you, because I wanted it to be a
Yeah,
surprise.
it's on my fridge now.
So I bought the postcard at the first port, just for your context. I bought the stamps in Juneau and I mailed it from Skagway.
Oh,
So
nice.
it's got a little bit
So,
of all of them in there.
one question, when you get off on a port, do they give you like a specific time to get back? And then what happens
Yes.
if you don't get back?
Well, there's a couple of options. Mama, oh, that was cute. Normally, and actually you can go to YouTube and search cruise people late for boarding. There's some funny videos
Oh, okay.
because a lot of times the cruises will wait for you, but then you will get heckled by everybody on their balconies as you run back to the boat.
Right.
But they tell you that they will leave you if you're not there on time. So they can and they will leave you, but most of the time they will wait and then they will berate you verbally in public for being late. We were always back well before the
Yeah.
time. Like we usually got off at the first possible moment you could. Like in Ketchikan, we were off that boat at like 7 a.m.
I
You know,
feel
and
like
we
it
are.
would be really that would be really stressful for me because I'm a person who always likes to be super early, and I feel like the entire day I would just be looking at my watch, you know, like, oh my
Yeah.
gosh, oh my gosh, I only have this much time.
The only time it was a little bit nerve-wracking was in Juneau because we had done the whale watching. So we had spent most of our day being somewhere else, which didn't leave much time to explore the actual city. But honestly, each day we had walked so far, done so much, and not eaten that we were ready to get back on the boat, generally at least an hour or so before they even were asking us to be there. And we felt that we had done everything we could do. I would have chosen to stay overnight in Juneau and had 2 days there over going to Skagway. If it was me planning the trip, I say Ketchikan was lovely, but I'd do 2 days in Juneau and skip Skagway. Maybe just do like a pass through that nice little area where you leave Skagway and not gone to the city and then just headed home. So, but yeah, I mean it
And I
felt
guess
like
you choose your
enough
cruise
time.
obviously by like where you're gonna pop off usually.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean that cruise, like I said, this is kind of a unique situation because this cruise came up as an offering where we would get an option for this VIP situation, which was the only way we could afford it. I'm not really the kind of person. I don't know if I said it earlier, but I think this cruise probably all total was about $8,000. That's just more than we could spend on a vacation at this point in
Yeah,
our
that's a
lives.
lot. It's a lot for a cruise, too.
And we definitely paid way less than even half of that for this. But it still was a lot of money to invest. And I feel like overall the payoff, what we got for it was a good value. I don't know if I'd feel that way if I'd spent the full $8,000. So we were really bound to, though, the point of all this is that we were bound to whatever that itinerary was.
Yeah.
This wasn't about us picking our itinerary. If I were to do it again and I were to pay full price, I would try to see if there was something that maybe had longer times in certain ports like Juneau, where you
Yeah.
could do more things. But honestly, if this is something that we are offered every year, I would do this cruise every year because it was so much more affordable. And we only, no pun intended, got the tip of the iceberg of what there was to do on that cruise and in each of those ports. I mean, We there was dozens of excursions for every port, and we did one excursion in one port, and that was the whale watching. So
Wow.
I just want to tell all of you, cruising is super stressful, but I think a cruise to Alaska, if you're into the scenery, and for me, it was like record-breaking temperatures that week in Oregon, and to leave 100 plus degree days, which I'm just not physically built for anymore, and go to an area that was all like in the 50s and 60s, and sometimes like even freezing conditions. It was such a nice break from the heat. Like
Yeah, I
in
can
the winter,
imagine.
I like to leave here and go to the desert, like Arizona or Nevada. And so I'm thinking maybe in the summer I'd like to
You are definitely a
go
grass
to
is
Alaska.
greener person.
Yes.
Never
I am like
satisfied.
hunting. I'm hunting like a certain temperature. I have a range, a very small range of temperatures I'm comfortable in. Over 100 is way over my
Yeah,
limit.
same.
And anything under 40 and we're not okay. But Alaska for the most part was in the 50s and 60s. And so yeah, it was really lovely. And then when we got back to Oregon, the heat wave had broke and now we're back in the 70s. So
Nice.
yeah,
Perfect
absolutely.
timing then.
Yeah. No, it was really amazing. I hope if we go again, the one thing I kept saying the whole cruise, I'm like, the baby would have loved this.
Yeah, like
Like,
that's what I was thinking the whole time you were talking. I mean, I was holding my baby for like the last 15 minutes. I'm sure everyone will enjoy
what happened? Wait, what
the
happened to your baby? Your baby just disappeared.
But yeah, that the whole time I was thinking, when I wasn't on mute, like, what about your baby? Your baby would have loved that.
Yeah, so I really think we'll go back and we'll take her. Honestly, we could have taken her this time, but because when we booked this, the you weren't required to be vaccinated, but the options to you on the cruise were far expanded if you
Yeah.
were vaccinated. I don't believe that they were actually restricting unvaccinated people once we finally went on that cruise. I think everybody had access to the same things. And so, had we known that, we probably would have brought her. But when we booked the cruise, we were told that if you have someone in your party who's unvaccinated, then you basically like can go on the cruise, but you have to stay in your room the whole time. You cannot do
Yeah, what's
any
the
of the
point of
other
that?
things.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to take my baby on a cruise and keep her. I mean, like the rooms on a cruise are not big. We were not in a big room, but that's like a dorm room in college. It's because you're not supposed to be in your room. They
Yeah.
have lots of other things going on, and you should be on the ship doing those other things. That's what you're paying for.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I don't think that that requirement was actually in place when we went by the time we left, but we just chose not to include her in it because we didn't want to be like banned to our rooms the entire time. I feel sure by next summer, if we were to do this again next summer, that would be different. Like I said, I think it was different by the time we went on this cruise. And I would absolutely take her, but I would do things very differently because I'm not there on my anniversary trip with my husband. Like, I definitely was enjoying the adulting part of that cruise and doing
Yeah.
things that were not kid friendly for a lot of it. And so I could see other parents with young kids on that cruise. And I was like, I could appreciate how they were obviously doing that cruise very differently than we were,
Sure.
and how, and it's kind of nice because like to experience it this way as an adult with no responsibilities was nice. And so I wouldn't feel like I was maybe missing out on some things if we did it next year with the baby or in a
Yeah.
few years, maybe not
Well, and
next year.
also, like, you don't really think that you'll be able to do stuff like that, like when you have a baby. So, to be able to do that and know that your baby's safe and like everything's fine is like a unique and great experience, I imagine. Yeah.
Alrighty, so that's
That's
all I wanted
amazing.
to
It's like a
say. I mean,
whole country on a ship.
it is. I mean, it an engineering phenomena. Like,
I really
I
can't
can't
imagine being on a ship that
process
big, you
it.
know?
Okay, and I will say that our so we were on the Discovery Princess, which is the newest ship in the Princess fleet. It was bigger than any other ship that we encountered in any other port, like much bigger. So I think that this is like one of the biggest and nicest and most high-tech cruise ships out there. So that's kind of an interesting experience to have. Like I said, the medallion thing is integral to your experience. And I could track my husband. Like I could look on my, there's an app on your phone, and I could be like, where is my partner? And the cruise ship would find him and be like, he's in this
That's
restaurant.
cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I felt like it was all used for good. You know, it's not information that normally I would like to be shared about me, but on the cruise ship, it's nice to know where everybody in your party is, including your kids. So you're like the kids, they have the medallions too.
That's cool.
And that way nobody can go missing, hopefully. Yeah. So, but yeah. So anyway, I do have other things I learned on the cruise, but I'm going to hold those off for actual, like, more specialized discussions because I learned a lot of stuff about skincare. And so we'll save that
Nice.
for an episode where we actually like talk about skincare. But there was some really cool stuff on that cruise that was included that will come up in other conversations. So this isn't the last we'll hear about it. But I did just kind of want to give you guys like the real. Like nobody's ever told me like the real deal with a cruise. So I wanted to give you guys like the real talk on the cruise. And
And I guess
I hope
if
that was
anybody has
helpful.
questions,
Yeah.
like,
Please, I'm a wealth of knowledge. I went like law school level research on what cruises are like so that I went on that ship like fully prepared for
nice.
what I
That's really
was going
smart.
to go into. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's a completely different type of vacationing for sure. And I could see getting on there and being like, if I was stuck using the shampoo conditioner combo that they provide, that would not have been a good experience. Like, I'm glad I had my own full size shampoo and conditioner, but I knew that because I researched it.
That talks also that it would not occur to me. Like, I would totally think that I would need to buy plain size things to
Yeah.
take.
Oh, and my husband, the whole way going into security, is like, you can't take any of this stuff. You're crazy. He was like trying to tell me I couldn't take my vape pen. And I'm like, honey, I got this. I
Well, you
did my
wouldn't want to take that
research.
to like Russia.
Well, that happened. The Russia thing happened while we're on the cruise. And Chris is like telling me, he's like, this lady just got 9 years in Russia. And I'm like, we're in America. This is Alaska. Like, it's the same country. But I hear you. Like, I hear you. But yeah, I mean, he was worried about me taking that. He was worried about the full size products. He was really questioning. I was like, no, I have done my research. And I know that you can take these things on there. And we didn't have any problems going through
Nice.
security at all. So, yeah.
Cool.
All right. So, yeah,
Well,
shoot
thanks
us
for
an email.
sharing.
Tell me something real, Gmail. Tell me something real podcast@gmail.com.
Podcast
If you have any cruise questions. But yeah, I could see doing it again.
gmail.com.
All right, guys. Well, let's end it here. Kelly, I had so much fun today.
Yeah,
So.
thank you for like I don't know. I'm pretty fascinated. There's a lot to stick in.
It is. It is. So, you know, if you have questions, you know, bring them up. I'm happy to answer them. But we'll end it on that note. So, all right. Until the next time, keep it real.